Okay. Over the last week, we've been looking at specifically the roles of the wives. And in mixed into that, we continue talking about the husbands as well, because it's very difficult to only talk about one without kind of sharing some general guidelines of the other. And just like what we've been saying over the last several weeks, that ultimately the husband is the head of the wife, is in that leadership role, and is first and foremost one that should be showing example and love and bestowing upon it, upon the wife that has been given to him. And just want to continue to keep stating that, because as we dive down and get into it, it's important to continue to note that idea that Adam was created first, Eve was given to him as a helpmeet, and in that relationship, there is the roles that are given to man and woman from the very beginning. But it's just important to note that the man is to lead in such a way that is godly and displays the love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And we will continue that over after the gospel meeting. We'll start tonight, this morning, and we'll continue Wednesday night as we transition into the roles of the husband. And we will be focusing a lot on that, even though we've been talking about it here and there. So we're going to continue to finish the role of the wife and just going over some of these other details as we transition in. So we'll be starting on page 24 in your books. Does everyone have a book? Is anyone new that does not have a book that needs to borrow one or whatever? Anybody need a book? Okay. Very good. So we're going to go over some of these subjects. And like I said on Wednesday night, the goal is to kind of go over these and to discuss these. Any one of these subjects are struggles and contentions in the marriage relationship. If you say you have no struggles or challenges, then that's probably your first struggle and challenge, maybe. But the deal is any one of these I have seen, and you all have seen, will tear a marriage apart. Any one of these points and subjects. So we want to make sure just we hit them, just look at them, open up our hearts, and just kind of consume what is being said and go, hey, if that's something that we need to take to heart, or if it's something very personable, this is just laying out what God's plan is. And so the subject, first thing that we're going to hit is the idea of the actual intimacy relationship. We didn't get to that on Wednesday night, and so we're going to hammer it out first thing this morning and discuss that. And so we're going to start off in Proverbs chapter 5, and then we're going to then turn to 1 Corinthians 7. So we're going to start out at Proverbs 5. And I'm going to make some comments on these passage and kind of state ultimately what God's plan is based on his scriptures throughout the Bible, but just only using these two passages to lay this out to make sure that we're clear with regards to that relationship. So Proverbs 5, verse 15, starting. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts be filled with you at all times with delight, but intoxicated always with her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? A man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord and ponders his path. His iniquities of wickedness ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his son. He dies of lack of discipline, and because of great folly, he is led astray. So I think Harwiker stops at verse 20, but it's just important to note that these instructions are for specifically for the husband, but it's for both the husband and wife with regards to the idea that you are to be with the spouse of your youth, the wife or the husband, and you are to not look at any other sources of these types of environments and these oneness and these intimacies and these physical relationships and satisfying those. You are to look only with from within with regards to that, nowhere else and outside. And there's plenty of other scriptures that talk about this. Solomon was very wise with regards to these kind of things and making sure of that. Lots of temptations out in the world today, but it's important to note that these are the things that we need to look for. And it's both the wife and the husband's responsibility to, just like what we've been saying from the very beginning, is the husband is to honor and love the wife and lead, even in this category, and make sure that these relationships are honorable and good. And the wife, consequently, she is to look to the husband in helping him and also helping him lead and also having care and comfort for him, even in these relationships, okay? So this is where, once again, the actual example that's given doesn't change even in this relationship. It is one is for the other and the other is for the one. And when that's working well together and the man is leading with love and honor, then things will work out well even in this relationship. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3 and 4, Paul is emphasizing this point, just going overboard to emphasize the idea. Verse 3, husbands should give to his wife her rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Then it gives some more details. In general, it says do not deprive one another, except for perhaps an agreement for a limited time, that may devote yourself to prayer. But then come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, this is a pretty foreign concept for the first century. It's something we've not talked about too much, the idea that the wife has rights. The wife has honor. And the husband is to honor his wife. It's important to kind of know, we've not talked about too much, but it's a good time to talk about it right now. The idea is this would have been very foreign for the first century. But the idea here, once again, is that both the wife and the husband both have rights and they have these things that are to be fulfilled in this marriage relationship. And it's important to note that this is a working relationship. This is not something to where one get, you know, it's not about one person get all that they want and the other person, you know, gets all that they want. It's the idea of the working relationship. Just like everything else we've been talking about, it's something that each individual couple has to figure out based on their needs. Each woman can be different. Each man can be different with regards to these things, okay? At the end of the day, it's a relationship that you all have to work out and honor each other and have love. One thing's 100% for sure, 100% for sure, just like everything we've been saying, is there should be no dishonor in this area. There should be nothing brought in to this area of intimacy that would be unpleasing to the Lord. There should not be, and this is on the onus of the husband first, but it can also be a temptation of the wife. And I'm not going to go into all the details. I think if you all can understand what I'm saying, there shouldn't be anything brought in that would disturb the goodness and the blessing and the joy that a sexual relationship can have and what God has created for man and woman when they get together in marriage. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Yes? This has destroyed families for a very long time. And so just want to kind of make sure we point that, we all just kind of look at each other and go, okay, this is a very important point. It's very, should be in the forefront of our minds. Because there's been lots of marriages destroyed because of just not honoring one another and not taking into account one another's needs and also the blessings that it can be had. Now, we don't talk about this too much during the child raising chapters. So I do want to say this because this is something else I have seen that I just want to kind of throw out there for all of us that have young children. And if anyone wants to comment on this point as well, but I have ran into lots of couples, lots of families where the idea of a sexual relationship was not even talked about, and it was this major evil taboo thing. Major no-no, so bad to the point where I've heard of Christian families getting together, couples getting together, and they have struggles. You know why? Because they think that this relationship and this physicalness is dirty and evil. Now, maybe you all have it, but I have, to where it's actually not being taught. And the reason why is very obvious. How does our society view and promote this type of intimacy, this gift from God for the married couple? How do they promote it? Very bad, very disrespectfully, very much promiscuous. You know, in other words, they paint it so bad. So the only reason why I'm bringing it up, for your children, I believe, and you all, like I said, let me know if you all disagree, but I believe it's important to teach our children that this is a gift from God. This is something that is good in the marriage relationship and something that you should enjoy with each other and honor and protect each other. Okay? Because the world is teaching them something different. And if we wait for the world to teach them, then there is a good chance they may enter in that relationship with a very skewed and very dangerous meaning of that wonderful gift that God gave us. It's to represent the oneness. It is why man and woman, it's all part of, it fits together really well in the unity, the two shall become one flesh. So therefore, that's just one thing, since we don't cover it during the childbearing stage, the idea of even something like this, and that when we teach them the way that they should go, this should be one of those subjects that we need to make sure that they have a very good and happy understanding in the right context when we have those conversations, when they're ready for those conversations. Does that make sense? All right, so any questions or comments on that? I'm going to move on. I'm not going to go over anything more specific, but just want to make sure, because it is a point of challenge that we have today, and it funnels through to we are more social today. We have, you know, women and men both in the workplaces, and trust me, I've worked long enough to know that, hey, things happen and things get presented in the workplace. And if they're not being satisfied or they're not having attention brought to them at the home, husbands and wives, the temptation is great. There's someone lurking around every corner to take advantage of that. Yes. It's all around us, and it's not getting any better. It definitely is a struggle, but it's just important that we put in God's word on our heart and that we understand the true meaning of these things, the true roles that we have with each other, and the blessing it is, you know. And so you're absolutely right. And to make sure that we bestow goodness on these good subjects because there's plenty of taintedness that's around us with regards to that. And we have, at least in my opinion, we have to overcome that because we want our children to have good relationships and families, right? And so I believe all of these points, particularly the subjects as well, is important to make sure we instill in them. Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir, Jay.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think it's very important that we be honest always with our kids, you know. Even when you address, the Santa Claus thing, you know, and kids look at it like, oh, Santa, 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 you know, and then they never see him. And then you start talking to them about God, and then they never see him. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, compare the two, say, okay, well, mom and dad told us about Santa's going to come and this, that, and the other. Get these gifts and all that kind of stuff, and then now you tell me about God. Well,
mm-hmm.
I found out that Santa's not real. When am I
going to
find out?
He's not, what? Santa's not. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's like when I set my son down and I said, "Hey, listen, we're going to start talking about sex." First thing he said, and you got to know who he is anyway. He said, "Okay, Dad, so what do you want to know?" You know. Come on. You know, let's
yeah.
Have an honest conversation.
Right. Yeah, we really have to focus that these are blessings and gifts, just like I've been saying from the beginning, that the husband and wife is a blessing and gift from God. And this intimate relationship is included in that package. And it is a great thing that should be taught in a positive light with regards to that relationship. And I just wanted to throw that out because I see it. It's a struggle out there in order to do that. So very good thoughts. Yes, Cindy. Showing by example, exactly. Showing by example that this is really the focus. And kind of like what I said on Wednesday night, ultimately the focus is love for the wife and a relationship. And like I said, this is not a sex 101 class, okay? So I don't have a lot of time to go into this, but the idea, you all know that if there isn't any emotion involved, if there isn't any true love involved, if there isn't, okay, so you all know where I'm going with this, then the physicalness means nothing at that point. It would become just a selfless satisfaction. But you're correct, if I can interpret and kind of add to what you're saying, Cindy. The idea is you all understand that ultimately these other things is what's going to make all relationships, including this one, much more beautiful. Yes? Okay. So let's go ahead and move on, and I'm going to move on to childbearing. And only thing that I wanted to kind of point out there, as we talked about, is just to emphasize that we are to be fruitful and multiply. We are to be. We are to have kids. Now, in this day and time, half the world would laugh at you at that. The idea is God created us to have a family and to have kids, if you're able to, whatever. It's not necessarily, by the way, not necessarily wrong if you don't have kids, but just important to note that, hey, this is kind of how it's been designed. It's to reproduce. This is from the very, very beginning. The idea is to be fruitful and multiply and have a family and to continue a heritage. God loves families. And so it's important to kind of note that. The only thing to note here is we have come into a time where having more kids is laughed at, is frowned upon, is made fun of. And all I'm saying is that should not be. That should not be amongst God's people. That's the only thing I want to say about that, is that I have seen it, and you all probably have seen it. Oh, they got 7 kids. Or, you're having another child? You all seen it, and you all have heard it. That should not be so. That's fine if someone wants to only have 1 kid. It's not a problem. Or someone that chooses not to have children. Or someone has only 2 kids. That's really the ideal, right? Just have 2 kids, male, female, everything's great. You move on. Not a problem. But for sure what shouldn't happen is among Christians to frown upon having more kids. I think that's kind of what I want to get at is not necessarily wrong with a wife that's having to work and is part of what you all have put together, and that's something that you all have made a determination and do, that's fine. But don't frown upon anyone. Don't make fun of a stay-at-home mom. Same thing with a stay-at-home mom. Do not frown and make fun of if another couple has to do this, has to go into this relationship. You'll understand. So same thing with childbearing is be fruitful and multiply. It is a blessing from God. Children are a blessing from God. It's not a bad thing. Yes, they're a financial burden, but there's more things other than finances. There's more things other than money. And children is a great example of that, right? So childbearing is part of the lovely and beautiful plan from the beginning in order to add joy to your lives and to be able to help teach others about the saving grace of Christ. And it's a way that you can really exhibit your love, just like what Cindy was saying, you can give an example and have generations to come that are following God's word with childbearing. Keepers of the home. So here, if you want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verses 13 through 14, who would like to read that? 1 Timothy 5, verses 13 and 14. If you've got it, you can go ahead and start reading.
At the same time, they also learn to be idle, going from house to house. They are not only idle, but are gossips and busybodies, saying things they shouldn't say. Therefore, I want younger women to marry, have children, manage their households, give their adversaries no opportunity to accuse them.
Okay. So the main point here, there's lots of points here, but I think the main point to bring out here with regards to this is the idea is that they are to be, as verse 14 says, is they are to manage their households and they should be keepers of the home. That's what Brother Harkrider points out here. And he goes into the Greek there. I'm sure that you all have that there. You can read that. The idea is they are home rulers, or they are to manage the home, as the English translation puts it. And once again, this is a very foreign concept today, but it's just important to note that that is what has been laid out. Now, that can be accomplished in lots of different ways, and we've already talked about the woman working outside the home. That may be something of necessity, something that you all have to figure out together. It can definitely make it difficult, but at the end of the day, the husband and the wife need to figure that out in order to make sure that the house is being maintained. And not just, I'm talking about cleaning, but raising your family, making sure that you all are honoring one another and serving one another, and that love is the central theme in the home, regardless of what you all have to put forth and put together. Does that make sense? So that's the idea there, but ultimately she is the one that is helping out. And I tell you, the husbands need the wives in so many ways. We've talked about that every week. We need you all. And this is one big area in which we definitely need a lot of help. We're here to help. I think the man should help and do whatever he can. Grill steaks or take the trash out or whatever. Or basically, at the end of the day, we need help. And so ultimately, it's been given to Eve, and it's been given to all women of mankind to help manage the home, to help bring up a family, and it's a blessing to the husband. And that's the way us husbands need to look at it. Not as a slave drive or anything like that, but the idea is we are thankful for the woman. We are thankful for her contribution. We're thankful for her gifts. We're thankful for her tender kindness that she bestows amongst the family. And that's the way we should look at it. And that's what he's saying down here is it is the health of the family relationship that the work of God has assigned to woman, and it should be held in the highest regard. Once again, going back to what I'm saying, is a woman that stays at home, that works at home, is a very honorable thing, and it's a very difficult thing. It's not something to be laughed at. A woman that has to work outside the home but still comes home and gets the work done, that's a very honorable thing. That's a very awesome thing. And husbands need to recognize that, whatever relationship they are in, to be able to help in that. Okay? So that's kind of the idea. There is a working relationship. The man is still head of his household. Ultimately, he is responsible for the spiritual leadership, but the woman has been given some management duties, and it can be a wonderful blessing. It can be a wonderful sign of freedom to be able to make decisions and be able to manage and be delegated that authority of the house to be able to take care, and it's a great blessing, a great aid to the husband. Okay? So with regards to that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. It is wrong. Ultimately, it's both the responsibility to raise kids specifically. And all that this is pointing out is that, hey, this is a role that's been given to her to manage the household. And that includes lots of other things. But you're absolutely 100% correct. The man needs to be able to help, and it's his kids too. And ultimately, he is the head of that household, and he's 100% responsible for that.
Mm-hmm. What does she have to complain about? But she's had to deal with kids, breaking up fights with the kids, or a crying baby, and she doesn't feel appreciated a lot of times. A lot of times she feels like she's forgotten about because she's making sure that everybody else is okay except for herself. So her mental health goes unseen, and he's just thinking she's crazy.
She just threw that out the window, didn't she, Jay?
And it's a conversation that a lot of people need to have.
Yeah.
It will save a lot of marriages because a man will leave faster, I feel, than a woman will because of the fact that he feels unappreciated when he comes home. He's bringing home the money and he's telling her, take care of the bills. Don't let any bill collectors call. And that's pretty much a lot of times what you have in a household, the works of the household. Children are young, the mother is the main nurturer of the children. So it's daddy's the play toy. When he comes home, everybody's happy because we can jump all over daddy, and mommy's the villain. And she says no.
Wow, there's a lot packed in there. Let me think. I'll go ahead and let you all comment first. Then I'll ponder all those thoughts, but those are very good thoughts. Yeah, and on that point, you're going exactly what I wanted to say, is at the end of the day, some people will say, well, a stay-at-home mom is a full-time mom. Who all agrees it's a full-time job? I disagree with that. Who thinks it's a part-time job? Who thinks that it's an all-time job? Okay. Yeah. Before you all jump at me and kill me, that is just something I've been pondering. And by the way, the husband and the father, is that a part-time job, or a full-time job, or an all-time job? All-time. And I guess that's something I've been thinking about, and that's very important for us to get in our head, regardless of what we do, our obligations, or what we have, and what jobs the husband or the wife. At the end of the day, the family unit, the obligation to our spouses and to our kids, is an all-time job. All time. It's something that needs to be a priority. All of the things we've been talking about from week one, it's important to impress upon ourselves that ultimately we have a priority that we need to put before us. And the husband's priority is not himself. The husband's priority is to his wife, and to love her and to understand her. Everyone jokes about that, to understand your wife. That's very difficult to do. And here's the deal. You gave the example. It is very difficult to do. But every role is very difficult. As soon as you say that each role or one of the roles is not difficult to do, then you've got problems. Each role is very difficult. To submit to a husband, a lot of the time, very difficult to do. Because we are crazy at times. Yes, men? Yeah. In other words, each role is very difficult and challenging to do, but the husband is to be loving and focusing on the wife and to understand her and to care for her. And that does include when you come home from work and you're wore out, you got to change gears fast, okay, and be ready to be able to see what kind of day she's had, just like everyone's saying, what does she need? Don't assume what she needs. I've been trying not to give too many personal examples. But don't assume what she needs. Don't go, hey, looks like you need to clean the house. I'm going to take the kids away from you so you can do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Or the vice versa. In other words, you don't know, right? You don't know what she needs. You need to focus on her needs. Now, that was a nice gesture, but if that's not what she needed at that moment, then that's not what she needs, right? And so, in other words, guys, sometimes we just want to solve problems, and we don't want to think. Yeah, Jay?
Yeah, along that line, I think if we treat the wife and the home like the gospel, one of the things that we have to do, we have to hear. Okay, so why don't we hear each other? Then we have to believe. I believe you, what you're telling me. It's not your nagging. You've been just telling me over and over again, like I just can't hear. And then we have to be able to confess that, hey, I was wrong, or something's going on, and this and that and the other. Then we have to repent and change. You know what I mean? Okay, I'll change that for you. And then I guess the baptism will be,
forgiveness.
No, you'll be saving.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're offering forgiveness or whatever. Yeah, that we become new men if we will take that approach. I'm just trying to wing it with you, right? I'm following you. I like it. But no, you're absolutely correct. Yes.
I used to be in a barbershop. I would hear men come into the barbershop and literally say things like, man, it's so crazy at home. I'm going to trade my wife in and get another one. And then they get some mistress, and she's just as crazy as the wife.
Oh, yeah.
They think it looks so good on the outside, and they don't realize what's going on. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
They want to trade her in because she's not able to perform because she's taking care of the kids. She's taking care of the house, and she's not paying attention to you. And you feel like trading her in, you're going to get something better. You're going to get a new improved model, and you're getting more of the same.
It's just our priorities are wrong when we start going down that road. Our priorities are wrong with regards to what the idea of the marriage relationship is about and what the purpose. And that's why we spend so much time on this idea of the purpose of the marriage relationship isn't about necessarily the beautifications of our bodies and how we're going to please one another in a selfish sense. It is a selfless relationship that we're entering in. And if we have those priorities straight, then we're not looking for a new model, because we've entered into this sacrificial relationship in which we are dedicated and committed. Just as Christ died for the church, he committed himself to it even when we didn't deserve it. We did not deserve it as people, but he still died on the cross for our sins. Same thing with us. We don't necessarily always deserve it, do we, to act this way towards one another, but we do it because this is what God has rolled for us. Yes, Joel. That's a good point. I don't have an answer for you. I do know, here I can give you, and some of you older people can answer to that if you would like, but I can give you my assumptive answer. I'm a guy. I come up with an answer no matter what, right? But I may not be right. But when you look at the way the living was back then and all the way even through the Middle Ages and all the way through up until the last 150 years, families were involved with the household. They were involved with each other. The husband would, the father would go out and work in the mill, and they would teach the young boys. They would be part of, in other words, there was more of a family unit going on. Where Kara is from is just not even 5 miles north of where Kara's from is Amish country. And we've been on a tour, and if you all ever been on a tour of Amish country, it may give a little bit of your answers. That makes sense. It may give you a little bit of the answers that the family, their families are designed all around family, and that they're having relationships with their children, and you see children all around, and they've got a lot of children. So in other words, I'm just kind of guessing that maybe the turn of the century, the industrial age, where men had left the home, all of a sudden cars, where they're leaving their households fully rather than being engaged and having farm and having trade. That's just my guess. But yeah, you're right. Something's changed. Something changed. And it's not right, and to your point, you know, but I don't know exactly, you know, when that all changed, you know.
Well, the children need to be taught to work, too.
Yep.
I understand when they're smaller, it's possible, but in a lot of cases. But
yeah.
As they get older, you know, it's not the mom's job to clean up all the toys and make the beds all the time. And
I'll tell you, the Amish people are a perfect example. I mean, you're talking about how old? I'm trying to remember. I'm talking maybe 8 or 10 years old. Those boys are running around, carrying weed, doing this, doing that. And then you look into the windows, there's all the girls. And they're cooking all day long, and they're doing this, and they're doing household. I'm just being upfront with you that they're probably laying out the model fairly well. They really are. Now, they got other things that I don't agree with, so please don't get me wrong. But I believe that they're instilling some of the things you're talking about. I believe they've got it more right. We have gotten complicated in our society, and we have gotten it wrong. So that is a good point, a very good point. Any other thoughts or comments? That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are what I'm talking about. Yeah. No mirrors, no pictures taken, no memories. They are a very strict. The group that Kara lives near is a very strict group, and we went on a tour ride, and the guy started laughing. He goes, yeah. They believe once you get married, there is no divorce. They're against all of that. And everything, he went down the pecking order. I'm like, oh, well, that's what we believe too. But he was saying it like, this is a very odd society that you're fixing to go through. And I'm like, wow, they got a lot right. They got a lot of things that aren't necessarily right, but they got quite a bit right. with regards to their priorities. Now, in summary, anybody else have any comments before I summarize? Because there's something pretty important. Yes, go ahead. Very, very good point. Now, so here in summary, I want to make sure I'm very clear because I don't want anybody to misunderstand some of the things I've said over the last week. There's nothing wrong with getting your hair done and dyeing your hair and fixing up and looking good and having well clothes and to do. There's nothing wrong with woman if the man and the woman get together, the husband and wife, and they decide that they need to have, you know, they need to work outside the home and all that. There's not necessarily inherently biblically anything wrong with that. In other words, all of these things we've been talking about, I don't want anybody to necessarily feel so horribly bad that, hey, is this completely wrong? No. We're only throwing out these as challenges in our society that we have today. Even when I throw out this ominous life, I'm not saying everyone go home and get rid of your TVs and get rid of your electricity. Although, these things can be hindrances. I'm not saying you go and throw away your golf game. Although, men or women, these can be hindrances. So does everybody understand what I'm saying? So I want to make sure that we leave here with the idea, no, there's nothing wrong necessarily with what we've had to deal with in our society, but they are struggles, and you can't let go of the priority and the selfless nature with regards to how we are to treat one another. We need to try to eliminate distractions. All of these things that's entered in our society very much are distractors. But that doesn't discourage you if you are in those situations. We do have TVs. Just a heads up so that we can deal with those as best as possible. Okay?